Welcome back to Your Family Matters with Carla Dedessi. We have Dan Celia here with us from financialissues.org and Stewardship Ministries. I highly recommend that you look him up on the web. He has so much information for you that all of us need to be aware of. We need to educate ourselves. We need to know what's happening with the economy. Economy worldwide, nationwide, but even in our own little home. What are we doing with our own economy? So here we are with Dan Celia. He is the CEO, President of Financial Issues Stewardship Ministries. He was trusted over $800 million. He had his own business working on Wall Street, but the Lord took him on a different path. If you want to listen to part one of this, go to our podcast at 1180 WFYL and check it out because you need to listen to that. But we were discussing, Dan, our options, and you were giving us three options. What can we do when we're talking about our economy?
Yeah, so, I mean, I tell people that we have three options to turn around America. As believers, I'm talking about. One of them is, as I said last week, we can curl up in fetal position and we can pray. And I was about to, and I said to our listeners, I've got nothing against prayer. We need to be praying. We all need to be prayer warriors. No doubt about it. But here's what I tell people. When the Lord returns, he will find me with a sword in my hand. I am not going to be curled up in fetal position. I am going to be fighting. We are soldiers. I'm a soldier at heart. I started out in the military during Vietnam as a soldier. I still carry that with me. I believe we ought to be on offense. I'm not going to be on defense. I'm going to be praying.
Ephesians says, put on the helmet, put on the breastplate, put on the sword of truth.
Yep. Amen.
We're in a spiritual battle.
And that's what we got to all be thinking about. We're not going to win and get America back. Each day we lose more and more of our freedoms, more and more of our liberties. And the only way we're going to do that is we've got to be willing to fight. We can't sit home and not vote. We can't say, I had a good, you know, this was a thing during the, and I had candidate Romney was on my program and all the candidates. But I, you know, one of the things I said to people, I know you all want David Jeremiah or Charles Stanley or somebody as president. Ain't going to happen. Not now. But we got to take baby steps. Look, you're not going to vote for this guy because he's a Mormon. Let me ask you a question. Is he better than what we have? Is he better than what the other options are? Are we going to get anywhere if we don't take baby steps to get there? I used to tell my children growing up when it came to money and other things, I used to say it takes a lot of crumbs to make a loaf. If you're not happy with the crumbs, you're never going to have a loaf. We're not going to get the loaf immediately. We got to grow. We got to build up to it. The Bible says little by little wealth grows. Little by little everything happens that is good for us. We've got to be willing to take baby steps. We can't sit home and not vote as 11% of Christian evangelicals did because they didn't want to vote for a Mormon because they didn't want to take.
It's foolishness.
It's crazy. So here's the thing. Let me just. I got to say this because I'm fired up now.
Listen.
It is, if we believe, you and I, Carla, if we believe, and all of our listeners that are believers, that are saved by the blood of Christ, we believe then that the Bible is the inerrant word of God.
Yes.
Right? Cover to cover.
Yes.
We believe in the full counsel of God. That means we believe in Romans chapter 13. And in Romans chapter 13, it says that all authority is ordained of God. Right? Let me pose a question. How is it possible that we could think that God would ordain something and then ask his people to stay out of what he's ordained?
He doesn't.
There's no logic to that. It doesn't make sense. If we believe, listen, we know that there have been leaders throughout antiquity, throughout the world, that were evil people that God used for good. Mm-hmm. But we need to participate in all that God has ordained.
He commands it of us. And let me tell you a story, a book that I finished reading that I'm always quoting from. It's the late Dr. James Kennedy's book, How Would Jesus Vote? He has a chapter in there where he cites the New Testament where the Pharisees say to Jesus, are we supposed to give taxes? And he says, yes, you give to Caesar what is Caesar's.
Right.
That is what they were to do when they were Roman citizens.
Yes.
We are United States of America citizens. What does our government ask us to do? Benjamin Franklin said, you will maintain this republic if you, the people, can keep it.
Yes.
We are asked in this country to vote. It doesn't take that much of our time. And it doesn't even take that much of our time to go online, go to Pennsylvania Family Institute, go to Action of PA, and to find out who is voting in a Judeo-Christian way.
Right.
And so Dr. James Kennedy, the late, actually believes that it is sinful if you do not participate and vote.
Yeah. I believe that too. And that's the difference of hunkering down in the corner and praying and getting out and doing something. We need to, now's the time, we need to put feet to our faith. We need to know as much as we can about the economy. We need to know who's lying and who's not lying. We need to attend town hall meetings. We need to ask hard questions.
So how do we find out about the economy? Share with us a little bit right now. What is happening in our economy right now? Should we be worried about inflation? Should we be worried? Because a lot of people are not worried that we are trillions of dollars in debt, mm-hmm. and that every day it's just more and more and more.
So here's the thing. Our economy on the current course that we're on is insurmountable. There is no way, there can't be some sort of catastrophe. I call it when I speak sometimes, because I have a slide that I did, I call it, economic Armageddon that we could be facing. We are on that path.
Depression?
It would look like the Great Depression
because,
or worse.
Because China finally comes in and says, we want our money back?
Right.
Like, why? Why would we? Because people start saying, we want our money back.
Right.
But
right.
we don't have it to give to them.
Right. We don't have it to give to them. And as that happens, the dollar continues to get devalued.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
So we're going to print more money.
We're going to print more money. It continues to get devalued. Now, we are devaluing the dollar right now with printing. We continue to do that. That's quantitative easing. We continue to do that. The dollar is devaluing. Our debt is now at $18 trillion. It's doubled in the last 6 years. It's at $18 trillion. That doesn't count unfunded liabilities that the government has. When we add that in, it's over $100 trillion. So mathematically, it doesn't work. Mathematically, it doesn't work. I'm just a math guy.
Right.
I'm an economist,
If I would explain this to my children, I would say, Mommy and Daddy only have $100 in the bank, but we owe a $1 million.
Right.
How do you pay
that
back?
Million,
they're going to come and take
million
everything away
is
from
due
us.
Now. Right.
Right.
So we can't pay it back. Now, we have to have inflation soon.
And describe what inflation
so
is for
inflation,
those people that don't even know what
okay.
that means.
So inflation happens. So here's, let me give a good example. You're a farmer and you grow oranges, okay? And you're the only person in America growing oranges. And everybody loves your oranges. Everybody wants an orange. And you can sell them for 10 bucks an orange, right?
Yep.
I mean, you sell them for whatever you want. People are going to buy them. They want them. They're going to buy them. Somebody's going to buy them. Now your neighbors start growing them. Pretty soon the whole state's growing them. Pretty soon they're growing them in the country and we flood the market with money, with oranges. How much is it worth now? 50 cents? It devalues, right? Because there's more of them. Every time we print money, we're putting more dollars into circulation. Every time we put more dollars into circulation, the dollars that are in circulation have less value because there's more of them. Now, that's a little bit of a simplistic thing, but it gives you a picture that when we're printing money and putting more money into circulation, the dollar loses value. This value is based on the full faith and credit of the United States of America. There's only so much full faith and credit to go around. We're not on a gold standard, so we have to be based on this full faith and credit. The more money we put in, the lower the value gets. The lower the value gets, the more dollars it takes to buy a barrel of oil, bread, food, cable, or television, whatever it is.
Let me ask you this question because it's a question that I have. So we were recently in Italy,
mm-hmm.
my family. When we were in Italy 6 years ago, the euro, you know, I could get, $1 was worth $1.50.
Right,
okay. So stuff was really cheap over there. I was shopping.
Right.
This year when we went, it would cost me
if $1.50.
Correct.
Right.
So now I'm not buying anything in Italy.
Right.
Because I'm saying to my husband, they want 20 euros for that dress. That's really going to cost me 30 American dollars. And I'm not interested in it for that much. I can get it back in the States cheaper. So I'm not going to spend any money over here in Italy. Right. And that's probably happening in a lot of other countries, too. Does that have to do with inflation? Is that inflation?
Well, that's a little bit different. That's a little bit different. So it's the euro. So dollars inflate. So the euro is based. It's being measured against the dollar. So people, you might hear on the news, the dollar is up against the euro today, or the dollar is down against the euro. Okay, so. It doesn't make it, so if the dollar gets weaker, right, the euro is stronger, right? It becomes stronger because it's being measured against something that is weak.
And I'm just starting to think that I never considered Italy to have a thriving economic market. So does that mean that Italy is actually doing better economically because their euro or Europe is doing better economically? Because the euro is stronger than the American dollar?
No, because the European Union, Italy, is going through a deflationary time. Because as the dollars buy less and as people earn less, they have less money to buy things. So producers, sellers of goods lower the price. That's called deflation. That is not good for the economy either. So the European Union is doing this juggling act right now to try to control deflation. They're more concerned about that right now than they are inflation. But remember, Italy is at a great disadvantage because they can't help themselves. Because they've got to worry about 16 other nations. So the euro bloc, that's where it kind of shot themselves in the foot. They couldn't just say to Greece couldn't just devalue their dollar and collapse. They couldn't do it. It would bring down 16 other nations. It would hurt 16 other nations. They couldn't do that. That's been the big fault of the one currency there. So it's a little bit of a different
You're just helping me to understand something. So this is why Switzerland opted not to go into the European Union, because they did not want to be dragged down by all of those
and the
countries.
UK.
Oh, and the
and
UK.
And England. So so the UK is still, you know, they're not on the euro. They buy into all of the European Union. They are considered a part of the European Union, but they're not considered part of the euro bloc.
And would you say that that was a wise decision?
Very wise decision. And it's going to even look wiser as the years go on. So we're faced with, if we get into inflation, so let me give you an example. We have $18 trillion worth of debt. We pay about $400 billion a year in interest to service that debt. That's America pays $400 billion. If interest rates get anywhere near normal, normal being around 4%. We're now going to be paying on our debt interest of over $1 trillion. We will be adding over $1 trillion every year just on our debt on interest. Mm-hmm. It's unsustainable. Can't happen. Mm-hmm. We'll never survive that. And if we get inflation, which we are managing to keep at bay right now, but if we have inflation, that means interest rates are going to have to go up. If interest rates go up to anywhere near normal, that's going to exacerbate that problem of the interest debt that we have to pay. And that's going to, you know, obviously be on top of the debt we already have and continue to make things worse. And that's when we're going to start getting in trouble. Here's what I wrote back in 2009. I wrote an article called Reset Button, and I outlined what I thought the things that were going to happen. I've been right, again, by the grace of God. I've been right about everything. And the last two things I said, so I happen to believe as an economist that we have an advantage, right? We're believers. We know how the story ends, right? So we know how it ends. So one of the things that we have to look at as believers, since we know that there's going to be a one world government. Now, I hope we're out of here by then, but we know there's going to be a one world government. But I think the thing that is going to usher in the one world government is a one world currency. And here's why I believe that. Quantitative easing has not worked. I said this was I made reference to an article that I'm going to republish that I wrote back in 2008. And I said the quantitative easing was never going to work. It hasn't worked. Now, they're saying it worked. It hasn't worked. It hasn't worked like it has in the past, where it has actually spurred the economy and we've gotten out of recession. It hasn't worked. When they finally come to the place where they're going to admit, they're never going to admit it, but where they realize it hasn't worked, and they start doing something about it. The only other tool they have left in their toolbox is to allow inflation to come in. Because the mentality is that if we allow inflation and we get a 4 or 5% inflation, you are going to get a raise in all the work that you do of 3 or 4%, that's going to create a wealth effect, make you feel good, and you're going to spend money, and that money is going to spur the economy, and then we'll start getting out of the recessionary times or the inflationary times. That's never going to work. It didn't work during the Carter administration. It's not going to work now. It's got no chance of working, because once we let that horse out of the barn, that inflation, we're not going to stop it. But they're going to try, because it's the only thing they have left to do. So they're going to try the inflation thing. That's not going to work. There's only going to be one other thing left to do. They're going to either have to allow us to go into a depression. They're going to have an intentional reset on the dollar. They're going to have to go, the Treasury Secretary or the President is going to have to go on the air one night on TV and say, tomorrow morning, your $200 in your savings account is going to be worth $100. The banks are going to close because they're going to have to reset their systems. They're going to reclose to stop a run on the bank. Your debt is going to go cut in half. Your salary is going to get cut in half. And the national debt is going to get cut in half from $20 trillion to $10 trillion. And they're going to perceive this as a way that they can get out of this. That's what they're going to do. That's not going to work. And the only other option left is going to be to come up with some brainstorm that they're going to have a currency united with a number of other nations. Now, what we learned from the euro is that you can't have one currency without a governing authority. That's why it's failed so miserably, because they took 17 different parliaments to make a decision on anything, which wasn't going to happen. So we've learned that. So they're never going to usher in any kind of currency block without a governing authority. So that's what I believe is going to usher in. Now, having said all that,
what happens if we get a different president in that has a different philosophy and he understands economics?
So having said all that,
in 2016,
I believe that we can change it all. I believe, because I'm a capitalist and I believe in free market economies, we have $3 trillion, a little more than that, on the sidelines right now. If $1 trillion of that comes into the economy, we're good. You're going to start seeing a turnaround. I believe that can happen. Now, my liberal friends, when I go on talk radio with my liberal friends, they always hammer me on this. They always say, yeah, Dan, that's great, but that's going to take 3 or 4 years to work into the economy. I know that, but here's the issue. As soon as it's mentioned, or soon as it's conceived that it's going to happen, it's going to usher in an enormous amount of business confidence into the economy, and things are going to change immediately. Things are going to change dramatically, and we can change this economy if we can get back to solid fundamental principles of free market economies. That means certainty in the tax code, certainty in the regulatory burdens that we have right now, certainty in our political structure from the president on down. And right now, those three things are nothing but uncertainty. If I'm a CEO of a company, and me personally, if I'm a CEO of a company, I love America, and the last thing I know CEOs want to do is move out of America. But I'm going to Ireland. I can get a 12.5% corporate tax rate, and I can return so much more because I have an obligation to my stockholders, and I'm going to be able to return that. So I know it's complex. I know we've talked an awful lot, and I feel sorry for the listeners because they're all on brain overload.
No, I'm on brain overload. And I have 100 million questions for you right now, but I think that I'd like to leave everyone that I feel inspired. I feel empowered. Good. I want to go and get a book. Should we buy your book? We should buy your book. Listen, start with your book.
My wife says I could never sell a book if my life depended on it because I never promote it. But
really, that will explain things to
my us. My website is financialissues.org. financialissues.org. You can get the book there. It's called Fear of Money. It's a book primarily for everybody. I love when young people read it because it starts laying some foundational things that they need to know. But yeah, you can get that book. But check out the website at financialissues.org. I know there's great information there. You can listen to the program every day there as well. You can listen to the best of that week here. Every Saturday morning, and I know a lot of people do that, and I'm grateful for that. So, I know it glazes people over, and I can never know all this stuff. Keep listening. Mm-hmm. You will learn.
We have to start somewhere. So it's better to start today than 2 years from now. Thank you so much for joining us. This is Your Family Matters with Carla Dedesi here at 1180 WFYL, working for your liberty.